Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right. $25 a month? Every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Waveform Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez.
And I'm Andrew.
And today we've got a whole bunch of nothing, which is always a great place to start. But we've also got some smartphone rumors that we're just going to round all up here since we're about to dive off into the deep end of all the smartphones coming out in the second half of the year. And talk about Elon opening up supercharging for all, which would be kind of cool. And then at the end, we have a little game. I have a keyboard off screen. We'll explain that in a second.
Yeah.
But that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, I think we're going to start off with smartphone rumors. So we've kind of made the decision here that every time we're writing news, what we want to talk about on the podcast, we've been kind of neglecting smartphone rumors because, you know, they pop up every week, it seems like, but it's like this one little tiny detail that kind of just feels like getting a phone in the news cycle again. And it's really not that interesting.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting. Yeah, exactly.
Try to cover and talk about every little thing, especially because most of the earliest rumors about stuff are either completely unsubstantiated or wrong. It turned out to be wrong. And then the other half of that is a lot of companies just love using the slow, steady leak. I'll do air quotes here, leak of like random features or specs of their thing as press. And it's just sort of annoying to talk about it over and over and over. So I just leave it to the end. I mean, this is why we're talking about nothing for the first time on the podcast in a while. So yeah, but there are, I mean, we're going to, let's see. Second half of the year, we expect pretty much all of the, some of the biggest, usually Galaxy S is the only one that's not the second half of the year, but all of the biggest smartphones to come out.
Yeah,
we're probably
going
to see Pixel. We're probably going to see Galaxy Note. We're going to see whatever foldables they come out with. We're probably going to see like a lot of the like sort of mid to high range flagship stuff, because we always see the flagships, but we also got the new like Primo flagship $700 to $900 category too. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about a lot of the rumors that that usually come out around then. iPhone, of course, is one of them.
I mean, it's smartphone season coming up. That's what we generally call it. We're at the last, this episode will go out on the 30th of July. So we're busting into August, and we've already seen invites for Samsung go out. And usually the Samsung we can do that. That's usually the start of smartphone season.
Yeah.
So we're getting into it. I mean, we've talked a lot about June and July being pretty slow, but we're about to be not slow anymore. It's getting into our busy seasons.
Yeah, so they have their invite go out for Unpacked. It's the most obvious theme possible.
Oh,
there's two foldables, right? If you look at the thing, there's a larger foldable. That's the Galaxy Fold. Then there's a smaller foldable. That's the Galaxy Flip.
The hot
Z
dog
Flip.
And the hamburger. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, I don't know. I'm sure there's rumors about what the specifics of them will be, but I'll go over a little bit what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
So the first main thing is the big one, the Galaxy Fold, had an awesome upgrade on the outside screen. It went to 120 hertz on the inside screen and I think matched it on the outside, right? Or what do we have on the outside? I'm forgetting already.
Don't remember exactly. I do know they got rid of like the, you know, the big camera bump on the inside of the phone. The outside didn't have that awful bezel. It was
a big form factor improvement.
Huge jump. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So this time I'm curious to see if they can now start to get it to be a little bit more thin, a little more wieldy in the hand.
For sure.
It's probably going to be tough because we also are concerned about battery. Mm-hmm. We're also concerned about a huge 7-inch screen plus an outside screen and how that will all fit together in a thin, small package. But I think that's the inevitable evolution of these folding form factors is getting closer to the regular candy bar form factor.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm curious to see what they do with that. I think there's also a rumor about a pen. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, so there's also the Flip 2, which like I think the main gripe about the original Flip was that the screen on the outside, everyone liked the screen on the Razor better than the Flip because it was just small little notification thing where it feels like if you think about old flip phones, like they used to have a little bigger one with time and maybe you could read notifications on it and stuff like that. So it just seemed like Motorola went the better way on that. So, I mean, if I had to pick what I would like improved on the Flip 2 would be a bigger outside screen.
I think that's the obvious one. Big outside screen on the new Flip.
Yeah,
okay, I hope to see that.
So I do have a rumor about a potential. So while a bunch of these rumors came out, Samsung let out a press release kind of confirming some of them and also adding a couple little extra things. So right now it seems like we've pretty much confirmed that there will be a Fold, a Flip, a Galaxy smartwatch, and a Buds 2. Now, they also mentioned that there is going to be S Pen support, and there's a picture of an S Pen case for the Fold. Which now, if you take that as a rumor, I don't know if you want to dissect that first or go a little further, and then also see that there is zero rumor about the Note, we might be getting into that thing we talked about months and months ago of, are we going to see a Note at all this year?
Right. I'm still in the camp of this means nothing. The Note is here to stay.
Okay. Do you think a Note comes out this event?
I don't know about this event. I mean, they only tease folding things. I think it'll happen this year. But the fact that it's going to have to put the S Pen in a case to carry it around at all, because carrying around an S Pen is terrible. It's awful.
Oh, yeah.
You have it. You can lose it easily. You put it in your backpack. It can snap in half. It's just not a fun thing.
Mm-hmm.
So by a mile, the best way to use and carry an S Pen is to have a Galaxy Note where it slides into the side. In what world do you completely end the Galaxy Note but keep the S Pen around with a horrible accessory that it slots into the side of a case? I feel like that's just a dumb idea. So I don't know if we see a Note at this event.
Okay.
Probably not. But I really still don't think they're getting rid of the Note.
Now, this is generally when the Note comes out, though, correct? Like, this is
sometime around
mid-August is generally a Note event. The Folds and Flips have come on the backside of regular events.
I think so.
I believe that's because it's normally we get the S series in, like, February, March, and we get the Note series in August. Those are generally Samsung's two events. We did the, last year they did the S20 FE, but was that even an event, or was that just a couple brief?
It just got announced,
Now, I do have to say, going back a little bit on what you said about the case, we did have the S Pen case on the S21 Ultra, correct?
Yep.
Now, that I hated.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't love this one. Now, if you're picturing the one on the Fold, imagine just like a leather case on the back of the Fold opened, and right where the crease would be or the hinge, there's basically a little place to throw your pen there. So I do think this is slightly better. You're already, if you have the Fold, you're assuming you have like an unwieldy phone most of the time anyway. So you're adding a little bit extra to that. It doesn't really get in the way of your use when it's unfolded. But other than that, I would completely agree with you. It's the best place is inside the phone.
It's also better inside the phone because then you can have an active S Pen. Mm-hmm. Then you can charge it inside the phone. And then you have better just, you don't build the screen around working with the S Pen. Lots of your users will never use the S Pen, so don't worry about like minimizing latency, I should say.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you buy a Galaxy Note, these are going to be people who have the S Pen everywhere they go, so it's built around the S Pen. So the S Pen last year was passive. It didn't work as well in the S21 Ultra as it did in the Note. So it would shock me if they got rid of the Note, but hey, here we are.
Yeah, I mean, well, we've been surprised by weirder things before, so.
But I'm always surprised by Samsung adding something weird. It's never Samsung finally decided to minimize their profile of products. Like, when have they ever
minimized their footprint? That's a very good point. I mean, you made like basically a whole video about how Samsung is consistently like hitting every single price range of every, like they're just putting everything out. I do have to also think about, and now, they did say also in one of their releases that the new Folds will have, the screen will have increased durability. But I still like,
it's not
really
much.
After seeing what we've seen, just an S Pen in general on a folding screen makes me cringe a little bit.
Yeah, interesting. So the first folds have had somewhat soft displays. Obviously, they have to fold
very
in half.
Soft. I think you're being way well. The first very
one.
Nice about
so
that.
The first one was soft to the point where it was like easy to damage with your finger.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was improved and it was better. And the Z Flip actually, not that we're talking about Z Flip right now, but had an even better, harder display. But now I'm thinking, okay, if this fold is going to have support for a pen, which is like a fine tip, mm-hmm. not sharp, but much sharper than a finger.
I mean, yeah.
It's going to have a hard enough display surface to reject like that dent.
Indents,
like if you drag an S Pen today on a Galaxy Fold, you'll leave permanent lines in that top layer of the display, which is not great. So they're obviously going to have to change either the pen itself or the display. So maybe they're that far ahead on the new display that it's actually hard.
I think that if that is the case, then that means they increase these screens by a ton. Because, I mean, if you just think about it, you're generally going to be putting more pressure on an S Pen than your finger, and you're doing it on a way, 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 way smaller surface area. So it is very capable of damaging the screen.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine trying to do an S Pen on the original Fold.
It wouldn't be a good idea.
It would last one day, I think, yeah. or one session with the S Pen. But
that'd be interesting. That'd be interesting. I mean, it's the biggest canvas you'd want in theory if you want to take notes, if you want to draw stuff, then the Galaxy Fold is the biggest, best screen in any phone to do that. So it seems like that would be cool.
I'm going to chalk it up as it's making me excited about it. I'm going to look at this optimistically and say that
fold?
I think the screen is going to be much better this year. I mean, if you look at the jump between the 1 and 2, it was huge. So if we can have a similar sized improvement between the 2 and the 3, the 3 is going to be looking really nice.
Yeah.
So I'll be optimistic about it and probably let down in a couple weeks. So
fair. Well, we'll see that. We'll see the Flip 2 and maybe we'll see a Note. That event is happening this year in probably about 2 weeks.
2 weeks, I think. Yeah.
All right. Then what else are we talking about? We did a video on the iPhone 13 model, so we might as well talk iPhone. So yes, probably around September 12th is usually when it happens.
Yeah.
It's like the second week of September, we'll get the new iPhones. Did a video on the iPhone 13 models. And I mean, only a couple really interesting things were on those models. Again, there's four of them. There's an iPhone 13 mini, an iPhone 13, an iPhone 13 Pro, and an iPhone 13 Pro Max.
Mm-hmm.
And we assume they're probably called the 13 because we skipped 11S and there's probably not going to be a 12S out of nowhere. So probably 11, 12, 13. And there's ports on these phones. So there was a rumor floating around, and I think it's more than a rumor. I think there was a lot of momentum and thought about Apple going with no port this year. We talked to Mark Gurman about this. He said it was aiming for as early as possible, maybe this year. But there's ports on these models, and it seems like, you know, if Apple was going to go portless like right now, they would want to have MagSafe and wireless charging completely ready to replace ports.
Yeah.
And it just didn't quite get there yet. It's not quite there.
I mean, I do have to say, like, yeah, exactly. When they released MagSafe, it seemed like this big total like shakeup in the industry, or at least the like charging aspect of phones. But I mean, we're around a lot of tech people. I don't see MagSafe being used. I think it's had some really cool accessories. I think there's a lot of awesome car mounts that it's been really sick for. But in terms of general charging, I don't know. I don't see it all over the place. It doesn't.
I think that's the thing is if Apple really wanted to like flip everyone to MagSafe, they would have already gotten rid of the port. But the thing about wireless charging is it's an optional accessory for every other phone. Mm-hmm. Every other phone has a port. Lots of people charge with a cable. But if they happen to get a wireless charging accessory, maybe they spent extra for one or they happen to have one at home or something, then once in a while, they wireless charge. But like they also have wired charging anytime they want. And so that's available. It's been available on the iPhone. And when they added MagSafe, it was like, oh, cool. Now you can get one of those more expensive Apple wireless chargers and it'll snap to the back, like big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really drive this whole huge adoption of everyone in the world charging their phones with MagSafe.
Yeah.
It's just another version of wireless charging. So getting rid of the port, this is kind of like the headphone jack situation.
No, this is exactly what I was going to compare it to.
It's like the headphone jack situation. If you want to advance Bluetooth audio as quickly as possible, you need to release your own amazing headphones and then get rid of the headphone jack in the same year.
From under them, yeah.
And that's what they did. They got rid of it in the same year, and they made their own wireless headphones, and suddenly the entire ecosystem and all the minnows, all the remora sharks around Apple were making their best Bluetooth wireless headphones. This time it didn't happen at the same time. So we got MagSafe, but they didn't get rid of the charging port yet. And maybe another year they continue to not get rid of the charging port. And of course, we're thankful that they're not getting rid of the charging port, but that means MagSafe isn't going to take that massive leap forward that it needs to. If you'd rewound a year and imagine last year with the iPhone 12s, we get 5G, we get these new iPhone designs, we get MagSafe, we get no port, everyone's going to be using MagSafe chargers. Mm-hmm. And so because everyone's using MagSafe stuff, everyone needs MagSafe compatible accessories, suddenly that ecosystem is to the moon. Everyone's making all of their best MagSafe stuff because that is the clear focus. And obviously, we saw a lot of really cool stuff. I really like the Moment car charger. I really like the battery banks we've seen, but it's not quite at the level that we'd want it to be. MagSafe is only 15 watts wireless charging.
Okay.
And, you know, wireless charging has always been slower than wired charging, and iPhone users have been very used to slow charging for a long time. But the fact that every other phone wireless charging is doing it at least at 15 watts, usually at 20, sometimes at 45. A lot of higher end ones like this phone does it at 65 on the right charger. And maybe we'll see some soon doing it at like 100 plus watts wireless charging. It doesn't seem like building your whole future around 20 watt wireless, 15 watt wireless charging is that great. I would really like to be able to fast charge my phone. And if you get rid of the port and you only have MagSafe and Qi charging, you've capped your charging rate at 15 watts, which isn't great. 12 watts on the Mini, by the way.
Yeah, it's funny because I was just about to make an argument and that kind of stopped what I was going to say. I'm going to say it anyways, and sure. I'm going to know now that that is probably the main argument against it. But I was just saying, like, if we think back of getting rid of the headphone jack, that was pretty early in the truly wireless era, or just wireless, maybe not totally wireless, but, you know, truly wireless, the big surge in wireless headphones. Yeah. And even like Bluetooth audio in cars, like, is becoming more of a common thing. It's basically a standard thing now, but that was earlier and forced everyone into it. Wireless charging has been around for a long time. I think right now, if you told me if my phone didn't have a port, almost nothing would change about my everyday life. The only time I plug this in is in the car. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to a point where I barely even plug it in the car unless I'm road tripping now, because I just have my wireless charger at my desk at home, at my desk here, and next to my bed at home.
Yeah.
As long as I can just, they're not fast. I mean, they are Samsung wireless chargers, so they're faster than the 12 watts, but generally they sit on the charger for a while.
Trickle charging.
So like, yep, it's just a nice passive charge throughout my day. As long as the battery life is good, which the Pixel's been letting me down on that a lot. I think I would be more ready, and I bet more people would be more ready to go no port than to go into the wireless headphone.
I think you're living in the future Apple sees for everyone, mm-hmm. which is everyone has
a 2-year-old phone though too.
Right, but everyone will have to buy a wireless charger for all the points in their life where they charge. In the car, not a lot of people can wireless charge in the car. So if you can't wireless charge in the car, you can't charge in the car.
Yeah, right? Don't they make a bunch more though? They make car mounts now that are essentially just wireless chargers.
They
right?
do, but you have to buy
one of those.
Yeah. A lot of people already have a cable in their car. They'll have to switch and buy a wireless charger for their car. A lot of people wireless charge at home. They will have to buy a wireless charger at home too. A lot of people wireless charge maybe at work, but if you don't have one at work, that's another wireless charger you have to buy. So yeah, you can get to that point today with phones, but you know, I think that's probably what Apple would see as their main reason. Battery health. Trickle charging is great for battery health. We just want to have people have wireless chargers, trickle charging everywhere, and we're set.
So here would be my one, you know, if we want to go one more step further on that, not even so much, but like if Apple is taking away your headphone jack, the barrier of entry into wireless headphones at that point is $129, right? That's when it was the original AirPods, $129.
Really?
Right?
Was that the starting price for AirPods? I guess probably something like that.
I think maybe Adam can confirm with us on that. But right now, for wireless charging, Anker on Amazon, 100,000 reviews of 5 stars, $12.
Well, yeah, but that's Anker on Amazon. So you could get Anker on Amazon wireless earbuds too at that time.
Yeah, but still probably more expensive than replacing all your chargers with wireless chargers. I mean,
Apple's going to make their primo expensive.
You're saying staying in the full-blown Apple ecosystem?
Yeah,
okay, Apple should probably update that. But even they sell third-party wireless chargers, no?
Yeah, but like some of the $90 ones, like they're not going to sell like $29 wireless chargers when they know people buy $1,000 phones. So
fair.
Yeah. No, I think there is a world, like if you want to fast forward into that reality right now, you can just stop using the port on your iPhone today and you can get ahead of that disappointment.
I think if you are an iPhone user who plans to stay in the iPhone ecosystem, you should start making that adjustment.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people probably have. For Apple, it does make sense though, because like you said, they're selling more expensive stuff. The average user who's just buying all their stuff at the Apple store is going to just continue to buy essentially overpriced. I mean, like when you can get Anchor for $12, maybe the Apple one's a little better, but it's going to be $40. I mean, MagSafe is $40, so
it's not going to be that much better. It's still 15 watts.
Yeah, I don't know. I would rather. I think the barrier for entry, maybe for us techies, is easier, but for the average person, it's a lot to go out and pay for charging. Like paying for charging cables isn't fun. Like paying for wireless headphones is a lot of fun. Paying for a puck that charges your phone is not fun.
Charging's boring.
Yeah.
Fair. Well, what else do we have coming out this year? We've got Pixel's going to happen as well. Usually we see that it's like an October thing. And we know there's going to probably be like a Pixel 6. Mm-hmm. But we've been waiting for Pixel 5a. And that's just sort of been floating around in the ether. Remember there was like a tweet that Google confirmed it wasn't canceled? And then also never announced it.
It was like something along the lines of we were all wondering where it was. And then there was a bunch of rumors that it was totally canceled. And then I think there was some confirmation that it was only coming to the US and Japan. I mean, it's obviously because of the chip shortage. Like that's the reason for everything lately. I think in terms of Pixel rumors, the Pixel 6 we talked a little bit about already. I don't want to dive too deep into that because we've said why we're excited for their own first party OEM.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in Pixel 5a. And the reason I'm so interested in it right now is we haven't seen it. We're assuming 6 is going to come out in a couple months. It's usually October, I think. Mm-hmm. I think they should just skip Pixel 5a. And if they have the resources, they should just release the budget option during the 6 event and just call it the 6a and just finally get on the same page. Because I always think it's weird that the newest Pixel releases and then the lower grade one releases after as the same number. And I always have people saying like, I remember one time my friend had the Pixel 3 and the 3A came out. He's like, should I get the 3A? No, the 3 is better than the 3A.
Right, the stagger.
But he saw it coming out as 6 months later and expected it to be an upgrade. So
that
always, to me, I think has just been kind of confusing. I would like to see it.
Yeah, OnePlus, and we might talk about them for a second, but they have the T series and the Pro series and then the T Pro. Wow. So they 1 year had like OnePlus 7, then OnePlus 7T, or maybe not the T, but they had 8T and then 8T Pro. And there was just like a slight confusion about like which
it was the 8 Pro, 8T, 8T Pro.
Yeah, and you're like, well, it's called 8. That's also wow, what a name. The OnePlus 8T Pro sounds like 80, but it's 8T, and then OnePlus is just confusing by itself. Maybe we'll see a OnePlus 8T in the second half of this year.
90,
sorry. So we're on OnePlus 9, 90. OnePlus 9 Pro, 9T, Jesus, OnePlus 9T. Could come out in the second half of this year.
But maybe. OnePlus is also weird because it used to be the T was always the upgrade from the regular one, right? But then wasn't it last year the 8T was like not better than the
it was lower.
8 Pro or something like that? It was very confusing. Didn't it go like if you were doing it from lowest specs to highest specs, it would be 8, 8T, 8 Pro.
I don't think
there was an 8T Pro. Or was it 70 and 70 McLaren edition or something? I feel like
there was a 7T Pro McLaren.
Okay. Edition. But there was no 8T Pro, right? So last year was when they switched it up. Okay.
Right.
That's when I was confused.
Great. So OnePlus may come out with an upgraded version. But the thing about that is they already have the latest chipset in the 8 and the 9 Pro. So I don't know, you know, what they would, this is 865 Plus already,
maybe
right?
Maybe the T is the like premium mid-range or whatever we're calling it.
Oh, I see.
Maybe if you want to stay on the confusing route of it all.
Of naming. Yeah. So we'll maybe see Pixel stuff. We'll maybe see OnePlus stuff. And gosh, there was also a rumor about a you see the Surface Duo 2 rumor?
Yeah, I think we have to talk about it just in general.
Well, all I saw was a
that's all it is,
a possible model with a camera bump on the back. And you know what's funny? When we went and first saw Panos way back in the day, like a full year and a half ago, however long ago it was, they had a bunch of different prototype Surface Duos.
Yep.
Panos had one in his pocket that had a big camera bump on it. And that wasn't the final release one. We didn't shoot video of that one, but I found that interesting because the final one they released had no rear camera.
Yeah.
But it's in our video. If you go back and watch it, I'm pretty sure there's at least a shot or two of his.
He's holding it, I think, quickly.
Yeah.
And so what was, so first of all, the one we're seeing right now is the rumor is a three camera module with a gigantic bump. I'm saying like, I mean, Samsung level, Huawei level bump pretty much on the back of the Surface Duo, which is one of the thinnest phones even folded together. So I can only imagine this bump is at least as thick as
I can't tell how thick it is from this picture.
If you click on the link, there's a couple, there's this short video. Oh, there's a
video. Okay, I'm watching this video.
So while you watch that, I'll describe. But like you said, in the original, like prototype we saw, it was a one camera module on the back. But what it did was it protruded out a little bit, almost like an iPhone 8, and the opposite side had a little indent. So the thing would still fold completely flat.
Right. And this one doesn't.
This will not do that. This will be significantly open when you close it all the way. So like a full wedge.
The best part, I don't have it with me, but the best part of the Surface Duo was opening it flat and just having it just close and the magnets would hook and it would just like puff some air out at you and it would just be like perfectly flat and flush and smooth. And now I'm assuming with this new camera bump on the back, and the same hinge architecture, you're slamming that camera bump up against the back, which doesn't sound like a good idea. It sounds like you're gonna start scratching the other half of the phone. There's no way they haven't thought about this. This is one of those things where like endless hours and tons of prototypes are happening behind the scenes. And I wouldn't be shocked if this is one of many prototypes being considered.
Yeah.
Fair. I would just be surprised if this didn't get eliminated pretty quickly because of that. There's no way they haven't thought about that.
We'll have to see. I mean, like, if we want to talk about this as the Surface, I mean, it's very safe to say the Surface Duo did not do well. You can buy it for like almost $1,000 cheaper than the original MSRP, which I've never seen a phone do that quick.
$1,000 off.
Yeah. That's wild. And while a lot of reviewers, including us, said the camera, because the camera was basically just the selfie camera that you flipped out, which is never a good move. I mean, we praise the Zenfone being a good selfie camera because it's the rear camera facing forward instead.
Yes, so it's the opposite.
Exactly. And the camera is definitely not the only issue the Surface had. There were a lot of different issues. So
it's putting it nicely.
Yeah. I hope that this is not just like, well, if we just put triple cameras on the back, everything will be great. There are a lot of other things I hope if we see a Surface Duo 2 get changed on this. Bezels on the inside, battery life. There are a lot of glitches in terms of the software going between the two screens. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, camera. I would love to see a better camera. I did appreciate that it folded flat, though. That, like you said that was the best part of it.
Yeah.
It probably was the best part of the Duo.
Because it was the hardware, absolutely.
And then I think my other main gripe was, even when it was folded in half, it was just too wide for your hands to really, you had to really stretch your thumb out, which meant it was very hard to actually touch stuff on the screen. It's very hard to tell scale here. It might look a little thinner. It would be awesome if it was a bit thinner in terms of width, not thickness.
So a couple things on that. One, you know, part of the reason Microsoft would give us for not including the camera on the back is they're like, oh, well, our target customer for this doesn't really take that many pictures with their like work device, which this is their work device. Fine. It would still be nice to have a better camera than a webcam. The other thing is, I would expect actually the way you mentioned like how wide it is in the hand, I would actually have guessed before seeing this, if you asked me how they would improve Surface 2 or Surface Duo, is they would shrink the body around that screen, just make the bezels smaller, but keep the screens the same size. So now the whole thing with the same size screens is more hand usable.
The screen was generally pretty, close to the edges on the outside. It was just an awful bezel on the top and bottom, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a huge top and bottom bezel, and then a bit of a side bezel too.
Okay.
Shrinking the side bezels, it would still be a little wide. Maybe you cut the screens in
a
little bit.
I think cut the screen in a little tiny bit would be nice.
Yeah, but then also the top, yeah. And now I see this.
The top was awful.
It looks like the same aspect ratio generally as the last device, so I'm not sure. Sure.
It does look like there's a black version, which looks really sweet.
That'd be cool. That would be nice. Cool. Again, great hardware. Only goes so far, but you know.
Exactly.
That was one of the stutteriest 60 hertz devices I've used in an entire year. So I would immediately hope for higher end performance before I even consider anything else about that phone. You can not improve the cameras at all, and I would have more hope from like an updated chipset and more RAM in that thing. But nevertheless, we've got a bit more to talk about. We should take a quick break and come back and get into the Nothing earbuds and supercharging for all.
Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right, $25 a month, every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
Support for this show comes from NetSuite, and that's exactly what NetSuite provides, support. But what they really provide is support where you need it, because no one needs help where they don't need it. So NetSuite wants to provide you with products and services that are tailor-made for your business. Help where you need it. NetSuite is a top-rated cloud financial system bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math, see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended their one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks, so head to netsuite.com/waveform. That's netsuite.com/waveform, netsuite.com/waveform.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
All right, welcome back. We got to talk about, I want to at least mention this because it's yet another article about an Elon tweet, which seems like most articles about Tesla are articles about Elon tweets.
They definitely are.
But this one is one of the first time we've actually gotten real details on superchargers being opened up to non-Teslas.
Mm-hmm.
So he mentioned, you know, maybe later this year. I don't know when it's actually going to happen. I wouldn't take any date Elon tweets with any seriousness, but Elon says they're going to open up charging stations to other car makers, and basically they just need an adapter.
Yeah.
And some of the, you know, the details he gave is like, yeah, you'll obviously get better speeds if you're in a Tesla, and you'll get better support if you're in a Tesla, and that's a great reason to get a Tesla, but it's not like they're making some walled garden where you can only use a Tesla on Tesla superchargers, and you can only use, you know, non-EVs on non-Tesla superchargers. So the overall goal of advancing humanity towards this sustainable energy future is still preserved by not making this walled garden. So mm-hmm. it makes sense with the company's ethos and with the whole point of going electric. It's just cool to finally get details on it. And I think it would make a big difference as far, like, honestly, I said this in the Taycan review, like, man, if I could use superchargers, I would definitely switch to this car. Mm-hmm. It's not still true because Plaid Model S is like crushing right now, but I think it would make a big deal for a lot of the other superchargers, or sorry, a lot of the other EVs that people would have a hard time charging in a lot of places because there's not, you know, Electrify America chargers around the corner from them. There's not a lot of the other high power charging networks, but there are Tesla superchargers in a lot of places.
Yeah. So I think he's mentioned it once in like 2014 and again in 2018. But if we look at those dates, like, there wasn't a lot of competition out there. So he didn't really have to give them any details on it. We knew it was kind of an idea, but we've all been questioning it. So this is the closest he's had to having some like real details, like you said.
Yeah, and he's never given any details. So someone will just ask, I think I might ask at one point, like, what happened to other cars being able to use Tesla superchargers? And he'll just go, yeah, they can.
Yeah, with like well, no real.
none of them do. So like yeah. What happened? And there's never any information about it. So this is cool. Yeah,
I think it's cool. And I think to go off this in general, as long as it happens, which I think it will, like you said, I don't know about this year because Elon dates are all over the place, but this is a huge step forward in EVs in general. And I want to see every EV manufacturer, every charging manufacturer, like go the same route. I really don't like when I'm seeing like X company partners with company Y to do charging, and like it makes it feel like you're just limiting everything. And especially when the infrastructure is not out there, like in order to grow this infrastructure as fast as possible, if everything can use everything, that's best case scenario, because you know, some parts of the country are probably going to have a better influx of one charger, and then a different part of the country's like, clearly California is going to have way more Tesla superchargers than everything else, but maybe there's some other parts of the country where, you know, GM and a lot of stuff's based in Michigan. So maybe there's going to be more of whoever they're using there. And just in general, we don't limit it by putting it all together and letting everyone use everything. And it'll just advance us further.
Yeah. Infrastructure is honestly at least half of the story with electric cars.
Of course.
And so it's always been so uneven. Like, if you buy a Tesla, you can charge at literally any electric car charger. You just have an adapter.
Yeah.
That includes Tesla superchargers, which are everywhere, which in the US anyway, are extremely convenient. That includes all the Electrify America chargers. That includes the ones in the front of our building, the ones at a random hotel, like destination chargers, garage, everywhere. If you buy any other EV, you can use whoever they've partnered with and some select that are compatible, mm-hmm. and you have never been able to use Tesla superchargers. So if you are thinking for more than a second that you're going to do some sort of road trips in your car, if you're concerned at all about range anxiety, the obvious choice was buy a Tesla. And that restricted a lot of people. Obviously, they're very expensive and not a lot of people want a Tesla. Not a lot of people can buy that. So now the fact that you can get like a Mini Cooper EV or something like that, or a Hummer EV, whatever you're trying to do, mm-hmm. or a Taycan, and you will have much more availability, at least one more high-powered charging network unlocked to you, is a big deal for all of them. So I'd say this is a thumbs up for me.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, range anxiety, I would argue, is probably more people who are not buying Tesla have range anxiety, who are making the switch, and they're more in tune with their legacy car manufacturers. So that there's way more range anxiety even there because you don't have superchargers. So if you do, it's going to help that. And I think the transition between gas stations to electric chargers is one of the biggest hurdles of making people go to EV. So underrated. This is awesome for everything.
Yeah, I'm thumbs up to that. Yeah. All right. We also wanted to talk about Nothing because they're finally out.
How many times can we make that joke?
It's finally out. Nothing earbuds. So the Nothing Ear One true wireless earbuds are out. By the time this podcast is out, let's see, the review will be out as well. So you can watch the review of them on the main channel. I've got them right here. We're still, as we're shooting this, we're still making the review, so you haven't tried them yet. Adam's been looking forward to them, hasn't tried them yet either.
And Adam used to literally review headphones, so I'm excited to hear what he thinks.
So too. I'll give my two cents, but I also want to let you guys give your like raw first impressions of them on the channel. I am a big fan of this design. This clear but black and white and red design, to me, and I'm going to say this in the review, is the best part of these headphones. If you've seen the ads, then you've already been familiar with this. But if you're watching the video podcast, like, trust me, they look great. They come in this clear case too, so they're really about the clear aesthetic. And the case is pretty big, and like, sure, you could probably talk and like nitpick on a lot of this stuff, but keep in mind they're $99, and that lines up with Pixel Buds A series, Galaxy yeah. Buds Plus, I think, $99, somewhere around there. So, you know, it's a habit in my head to immediately go to the best of what I'm used to, but all those headphones are $200-$300. So I really have to keep these in context. So I'm gonna give yep. those to you real quick. So I keep thinking like, wow, the active noise cancellation is only half as powerful as the AirPods Pro. But that's an unfair comparison because number one, nothing else is that good in earbuds. And number two, those are $300 earbuds. So this is $100 and I was pretty impressed, but I'll let you handle them, see what you think.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think the design is really cool. I'm sure it was very, very hard to get something like transparent because
that is a big deal.
Carl has said like if I knew that it would be this hard I probably wouldn't have done it but I like the fact that it's got this like kind of different feel to it. A lot of earbuds are looking very similar. They're usually trying to copy off AirPods, and because AirPods are first, and maybe they just were the best design. I like the AirPods design as well.
Yeah, the thing about earbuds you really, as far as design, can only change so many things about them. Like mm-hmm. we've arrived at this design, which is like the bud and a stem. And you try to put as much as possible in the bud and then keep it lightweight, and you've got a little stem. Some of them don't have a stem, it's just all in the bud. But at a certain point, you just change like color and material and that's it. So the fact that they're going transparent is pretty cool. You might be able to connect to your phone, I don't know.
I think they connected it before to my phone, so.
Yeah, oh, okay. Really? Okay, cool. Because there's an Ear One app that lets you customize a little bit of stuff.
Okay. I want to get just like a quick first impression. So yeah. I'll repair it and talk about it while you're
pairing it. I just want to say going transparent is harder than it sounds. It's not really just as simple as instead of making a white stem, making a clear stem. It's that, but also now, if you were to cut apart like AirPods or some sort of like white plastic earbuds or really anything, inside there is a seam to like connect each part of the stem together, and the glue behind that on the inside doesn't have to be neat. Like it can be just, as long as it works and holds it together, it's fine. So the fact that these are clear and the glue inside now has to be neat, mm-hmm. the battery inside now has to be neat. They've done printing like on the PCB board, but also like everything has to line up. The microphones, the magnets, everything on the inside is now actually laid out neatly, which wouldn't have been a priority at all if they didn't make them transparent. So it is a lot of extra work, which is pretty interesting to me. But I think the end result is a pretty sweet design. So
I love the design. I love what they look like. Yeah, they've got kind of like the like hype thing going for them. I mean, like we've seen Beats by Dre work like that. I think these look way cleaner. I think they're different. They'll definitely, like, if you're wearing these and someone notices, they'll be like, what are those? Like, I've never seen them before. And I think that's cool. I'm totally on board for buying things, something because it looks good. And at $99, as long as this sounds decent, I'm kind of really interested in these. I'm going to try and play something here.
So that's the thing about earbuds that I think the industry has slowly noticed over time, which is that most people don't really care that much about sound quality. I think anything in this price sounds all right, sounds fine. I think if you're really after sound quality, you can get the Sonys today for $300 and they sound better than any other earbuds I've listened to. But most people aren't specifically spending more for it to sound better. They're spending more for features like water resistance, for wireless charging, for a better case, for active noise cancellation. They're not spending on like the EQ or the codec or the higher bitrate, audio support, things like that. So it happens to sound pretty decent, I think, but most people are after all the other things over like the actual sound quality. So yeah, the design is like number one on my list.
So I like the design, but I'm gonna try these on. I think my biggest issue with truly wireless earbuds is they don't fit in my ear very well. But the AirPods Pro fit really well. So I'm assuming these will, yeah, they're light. Oh man, I'm probably gonna talk kind of loud. So I'm gonna try to, I heard a beep. Yeah, there you go.
So there are, it's gone now, but there are, usually controls for noise cancellation. Is it playing?
Are you messing with me?
No.
Wait, okay, I did hear
it. Is it playing music?
Yeah, it's playing music, and I can barely hear you, so that's... I hope I'm not screaming into the microphone. Sorry, audio listeners. What song was that? Was that like a Deadmau5 remix? Mm-hmm. Okay, it wasn't the normal one, right?
No.
Okay, I was like, does this sound really bad, or...
No, it was a remix. For some reason, the app is really fidgety. I mean, I have a pre-release APK on my phone, so I'm not shocked that I'm having connectivity... inconsistencies.
Network connectivity problems.
Exactly.
Okay, I don't want to sit here and just like listen forever while we're on the podcast, but like, I mean, they sound good and they sound fine. Mm-hmm. I'm not like, I've tried some other ones recently by some companies that are a little more known for, well, are known for sound at all. This is a brand new company. They're not known for really anything except for transparent earphones. But they sound fine. And for $100, to me, I think you're paying for a decent sound. It has active noise canceling. I have to say, I really thought you were messing with me for a second when your mouth was moving. So the noise canceling is not bad. They sound fine. The design of them sick. I think that's awesome. I mean, going off of 2 minutes of having them in my ear, I think I might actually pick these up, to be completely honest.
I'll say three things about the sound.
Yeah.
One, and I'll articulate all these more in the video, but one... the seal and the fit in my ear is pretty good.
They're
very light, so mm-hmm. I love that. And the noise cancellation has two levels. There's a maximum and like a light noise cancellation.
Mm-hmm.
When I switched between them, I didn't feel much of a difference, so I just left them on maximum. But I went and stood near the HVAC and I was like trying to listen and see how good they were at canceling white noise. They're pretty good, but mostly because the passive seal is so good.
Yeah.
That top level of like great noise cancellation, it didn't reach, which is fine. They're $100, but I'm comparing them to other things I've listened to, so that's something I noticed. And then lastly, what was I going to say about sound? Oh, I mean, they sound... So I think the EQ is a little bit disappointing because all you can do is switch between normal,
mm-hmm.
more treble,
more bass, or phone call, like voice.
Oh,
that's okay. I'm sitting here thinking like, oh, you know, they sound a little bit, you know, tinny and a little bit bass heavy, but maybe I can like trim that bass down and like boost the mids a little bit. And then I'm opening up the EQ and it's just like, oh, would you like more bass or more treble? So it's not as detailed as maybe I would look forward to. But again, I think there's a lot of people out there who are just like, you know what? Give me more bass. That's it. Just give me a little more treble and that's it. Or you know what? I'm on a phone call, put it in voice mode and you're set. So
do these have transparency mode?
They do as well.
They do. Okay.
They have transparency mode. Of course, they're transparent. They gotta have transparency
mode. If they
didn't,
that would be like when the Essential phone didn't have a headphone.
Exactly. Check. Yeah, they do have it. It's pretty good.
I think I'm going to pick a pair of these up. I do not use these a ton. I use them on the airplane, so ANC would be great. I use them when I'm climbing by myself because I just want to listen to my own music. These are super light. They wouldn't be a pain in the neck. They feel comfortable, I think, in a long session. Like, they wouldn't be annoying. And then transparency mode there is great. If someone comes to the gym that I know, I can talk to them without taking them out or whatever. I think they look really sweet and I really dig the look. I'm like, I've always been pretty anti Beats because of that, but I just didn't think the Beats were that great looking. It just had a B on the side of it. So whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to give up my time and let Adam come sit in my chair for a second. He is an actual headphone reviewer. So I'm going to let him dive into these a little deeper, but no for, almost zero knowledge Andrew headphone guy who just wear them every once in a while. I kind of dig them. So let's get Adam in here.
All right, let's see it.
I'm going to take over the mixing board. So if it sounds like terrible,
it just immediately starts sounding awful.
Just cleaning these off real quick.
Would you rather listen to, because my phone's in airplane mode, so I only have what I saved offline.
Oh, okay. Okay, my go-to is Black Mags by Cool Kids.
I'll just go off airplane mode.
But I don't know if you have that. Oh, I heard the beep. Okay. Oh. Noise canceling is pretty good, I think. If it's on, unless that's just a seal.
Is this one?
I'm going to pull a Tim.
That might be cheating. For the isolation might be better with that on top. All right. It's playing. You hear that?
Okay. Wait, how do I lower? No, that's right lowering.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's on max noise cancellation. So if you want to change that and the equalizer, that's your choice.
Oh, yeah, I can't hear anything you're saying. Okay, that's pretty good.
All right.
Oh, the EQ.
That's the EQ.
This is not an EQ.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, let's do more bass. Balance, more treble. This is going to sound great to audio listeners, me just scrolling through the options.
I left it at balanced.
Okay, wait, how do you pause it? Double tap?
Single, I think.
Oh, okay. And then transparency. Oh, now I can hear.
Transparency. Okay, cool. So transparency to me was pretty good.
Yeah, this is dope.
Pretty good because it fit in your ears so well that as long as the mics are pretty good, then it's fine.
Yeah.
So
that's actually one thing I meant to ask you. How's the microphone on this? Have you tested it yet?
I haven't done a phone call yet. I'm going to do that before the review.
Yeah.
They say there's three mics in each for HD voice. Mm-hmm. So should HD sound pretty voice. Good. I'll make some phone calls and see if anybody complains. But so far.
I like the way they fit for sure. The thing that I like most, I agree, is the transparent like design.
Yeah.
But I think it was Brandon. Oh, let me get these on. I think it was Brandon that mentioned it. These look nothing like the first press images. Like the actual first press images, like the stem was really thick and it had like a metal ring around the bottom.
Huh.
And like, I don't know what angle that was because it's not this. And also me and David noticed earlier the white like bud here mm-hmm. was transparent in the first one too. Mm. And this one's white, which is like really, I don't know if you could.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if we cut in B-roll from the review, because that's I'll have plenty of glorious HD like, shots. But yeah.
Weird. Those were the two things we noticed that like, but. These are pretty cool. I like them.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
I'm impressed. Nice little case. I wish the case was smaller, but I get what they're doing here. It's transparent. This little nub in here is kind of nice.
Is that like a fidget spinner type thing?
So everyone has said that at some point when holding it. So yeah, it basically is.
Nice.
So,
yeah.
That's the nothing earbuds.
Sweet.
All right. We'll take one
back
more.
To the mixing board.
Yeah, one more quick break. We'll swap seats again and then finish this up.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're back. We have a kind of, if you're a longtime podcast listener, probably within the first 10 episodes, Marquez and I talked about like having some sort of a game on the show. Mm-hmm. We are at episode 74 right now, so we obviously have not done a very good job of thinking of that game, but I think we finally have it.
Only took 74.
Yeah, I'm going to give a little bit of a backstory because just having a game doesn't sound that fun, but there's this very specific reason we wanted a game. And now, if you're familiar with Top Gear, they have a segment of their show, at least they used to have the show. I have not watched some of the newer episodes, but they had something called the celebrity and the reasonably priced car, where they would take a pretty average sedan and all of their guests that would come on would do a lap around the track in this reasonably priced car. They would have a giant leaderboard and put all of their lap times on it and then kind of rank all of their guests. So when they like have, it's just really interesting to be like, hey, I'm watching an episode and, you know, Taylor Swift wasn't on it, but Taylor Swift got a 30 seconds, but Daniel Craig had 45 seconds. And I'm like, oh, Daniel Craig was on this once. I'm going to go find that episode. So it was always just fun to pit the guests against each other. And we wanted to do something like that on Waveform because we have a lot of guests. We have a lot of new guests.
And we like pitting people against each other.
Yeah, like who doesn't like pitting people against each other? Why would you not want to? So yeah. I think our original idea was we were going to take one of the 3310s and make people type in T9.
The T9 type test.
Yeah. Which like
just write a sentence.
Yeah.
Everybody writes the same sentence. But it's also so we're gonna have some virtual guests and not everybody has an Nokia 3310, so it's kinda hard mm-hmm. to do that for everybody.
And it's like it's kind of hard to see. I guess even this might be a little hard to see, but you'll get a little better idea of what we're doing. But the other day I have a friend who has always said that his talent is he's able to type the alphabet extremely fast. And it's one of those things where when I say it out loud, it sounds like very simple, In fact, the other day at the studio, I mentioned it and everyone's like, oh yeah, that's pretty easy. Well, while he was coding and stuff recently, he recently just started learning how to code, or maybe a year or two ago, and he developed a website where it just times you typing the alphabet. That's all it does. It times you. It shows you actually like every single second or whatever where you typed each letter. It breaks it down at the end. But we had it at the studio the other day and we all had a blast doing it and realized it is much, much harder than it comes out to be. So we decided, why not do this for the podcast? We are going to create a leaderboard. All of our guests from now on who join the show are going to have to do the typing alphabet test and see where they get ranked on the leaderboard, and we can officially rank our guests on here. To make it so that it's not just completely blank, everyone at the studio is going to do it. So right now on the podcast, Marquez, myself, and Adam are going to do it. We also have scores from everybody else. Do you want me to read the scores out to get kind of a feeler here before
we do it? How long did it take people to type A through Z on their keyboards?
A to Z in order. And what we did, we gave everyone three tries because we just took the best score. The best score is almost always their third one. Get warmed up a little bit, kind of get a strategy going. We had people deciding which keyboards they wanted to use.
The muscle memory
going. There was like a lot of arguments on like chiclet style versus mechanical because of the travel time. But then you were saying you didn't think that gives that much of a benefit because, you know, if you're using the same finger to type two keys in the same sequence, you're losing time. You have to make sure you're typing it on different. But anyways, we had Tim with 8.53 seconds. We had Brandon with 9.442. We had Vin with 7.392. Hayato with 6.537. Wow. Michael with 7.569. And David at 8.364. So Hayato had the best score.
Everybody's under 10 seconds typing the whole alphabet.
Some of them were not. Tim's first try was 14.8. So he got faster. He improved a lot.
I brought something.
Yeah, you did.
For our...
Oh, yeah. Audio listeners. Never say we don't think about you.
Never.
This is mechanical keyboard ASMR just for you.
So, I don't type much on my laptop. The thing is, I can type the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog so fast.
I think there's something to typing actual words, like those typing per minute things, because we're used to typing those words.
Right.
Nobody is used to typing the alphabet straight. So what I think is fun about this is it seems super easy, but no one really has the muscle memory for it. By the way, the website is typethealphabet.app. So typethealphabet.app. I would love to see scores you guys get. Remember, we only have three tries. I'm sure some of you out there are going to try a million times and brag to us about it, but we will see about that. But type your scores in the comments. Marquez is getting his keyboard set up right now.
Yeah.
Three tries we're giving everybody, including all our guests.
Okay. So I'm going to load up the site. I mean, I don't know.
Love to say, you better point that microphone into a nice little, there we go. That's what I like to see. Sounds good.
It's pretty good. That's what I like to see. I'm going to pull up the site. Type the alphabet. Okay, here we go. So, attempt number one of the alphabet.
Whoa, okay. Instantly in first place. That's a killer first.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, reset. Okay. Ready? That was worse. I messed up a few times. 4.902. So I guess you don't even need to write that one down. It's worse.
All right. Third try. Is there anything you've learned from your two tries here?
It doesn't require you to backspace when you mess up.
Yes, but you do have to make sure you hit the key. So I think Tim, the first time he got 14 seconds, he got all the way to Z and then realized he was actually still on N. So that was
the worst one yet. Yeah. I messed that one up.
Wait, can we look at, you can kind of see like your splits if you scroll down.
Yeah, so if you scroll down a little bit, I got 7.2 on the last one. I messed up on
F. It looks like you have a full second from you're at E at 0.5 seconds and F is 2.5 seconds. You have a 2 second
jump.
You can
very clearly see where you mess up. This is a fun site.
It's really fun.
What's the fastest time we've seen so far?
Okay, so my friend who developed this site, I think 1.42.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Wow.
I mean, I believe him. I don't know if all you guys believe him. He did send us a video of him getting like 1 point or like under two, I think. So like
it's like 0 to 60.
This has been his this has been his like talent that he shows to people as long as I've known him. So he's been practicing.
This is great.
I'm gonna hook up my keyboard now. As much as I love mechanical keyboards, I mainly like them for gaming. So actually, I type the most on a Chiclet style. So I'm going to bring in the one that I use here at work, which is what I mostly type on.
Has anyone else gotten progressively slower as they went, like I just did?
I think you're the only one. Hayato kept going after his six, and he got down to like three.
Dang.
Okay, this works. Oh man. Okay, I'm gonna rearrange a little bit here.
Yeah. Should we mic up?
I'm gonna mic up my keyboard. It's gonna feel. It's gonna be far less satisfying. But all right.
For audio only listeners, Andrew's got the Apple Chiclet style keyboard plugged into his Surface laptop. Specifically because this is the keyboard you type the fastest on, which I think is hilarious.
I took a picture of it, so we'll post that up somewhere.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to swing. Oh, I can't really turn this down because of...
Yeah, that's close enough.
There we go. Okay. Mm, 5.98. Okay, I'll take that as a start.
All right,
it's not that bad. I know where I messed up. It was around like
near the end there,
I think. Yeah, I had a 1 second difference between W and X. I hit Z instead.
W, okay. X, Y, Z.
Okay, all right. Oh, my heart is like racing. I don't know why I'm getting so I'm getting like really intensely nervous here. Okay. I'm just literally going to take the L on that one. I messed up and forgot where I messed up.
Okay.
Okay. Two isn't just an NA.
Nice. That's
5.249. I don't know. Was that better than my first one?
Okay. Yeah. Fastest that's my one.
5.249. I'll take that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Do we want to do Adam too?
Oh, yeah. Okay. What keyboard do you want to use?
That's I'll the use question. This one.
You're going to use the one at your desk?
All right.
Yeah, I'll just use the one here.
Okay, go for it.
Cool.
I'm going to do a screen recording on my computer.
Oh,
you can see.
That's pure dedication because he could be lying to us right now. But
2.8.
Adam is 2.8. Way too trustworthy.
I don't know how to mic up my
keyboard.
Oh, you
can just pivot it straight down.
Yeah, let me see if. Maybe I'll just put it on the side.
We're doing all this for an Apple Chiclet style keyboard.
Oh, sorry. Oh, wait.
Okay. Do you want to be play-by-play or color commentator?
I'll color commentate.
Okay, I'll go play-by-play.
All right.
Big stretch.
I am kind of nervous. He's not going to lie. Okay.
He does shake the hands out. Yeah, sorry. He's going to take the headphones off. No, yeah, you can do it. I don't want to mess you up. Yeah. And he's off. Here he goes. Pure concentration. Just looking at the keyboard, not the screen.
5.205.
Ooh, bold
instantly,
strategy.
Instantly kicks me off of this.
Does not look at the screen the whole time.
It is an interesting strategy, though, because you can either look at the keys and get the benefit of making sure you're hitting the correct ones. But if you miss one, you don't see where you messed up on the screen. On my second attempt, that's where I went wrong because I knew I messed up, but I didn't know where I messed up. And by the time I figured it out, it was at like 8 seconds.
I like how this commentary actually sounds like a real sporting event.
It is a real
bold strategy.
Next Olympics. This probably will make it to the Olympics before Ultimate Frisbee. So we're on a rocket ship.
I agree with you. God, I hate that.
I think I'm allowed to say it because I played it. I've felt the pain already.
Before. Okay, here we go.
All right, getting ready for a second attempt. Sounds good. Good start. A little pause in the middle there, but now he's finishing hard. Oh, might have laughed.
6.6.
Okay. I think 6. You take 6. The headphones off because
a little bit slower that time.
I
but
messed
you
up, I think.
A little bit more wrist movement.
That
in that
6.
One.
Points, I believe 6.6 though would potentially be just over Hayato, which was our best score before. So even while laughing, He still managed to get one of the best scores out of the studio.
He's good on the Chiclet keys,
man. He's ready. Oh, watch is coming off. I was going to ask. I dislike watches because of when I'm typing, so I like that he's lightening himself up here. And he's off. He's got a couple strokes down perfectly, but he's got a couple of pauses in there.
6.376.
All right. So you still, though, was that number?
His first time was his fastest.
Was it faster than yours? Marquez's first time was it 4 point something? Marquez is the leader.
4.539. Andrew's best time was 5.249. And my best time was 5.205.
Ooh, wow. That's barely cutting in front there.
Can we just say, podcast team, best typers in the studio? Let's go. So we are going to have a leaderboard. Tim is making one. It should be on the screen. But if I'm going to guess, let me read it off. We're not going to read the whole leaderboard every time. I think what will be fun is when you bring in a guest, we can see who they're between.
Who's the next guest going to be in? What are they going to get?
We have a fun guest coming in soon, I have no guesses as where they will land. I'm really excited to see. I just want to double check here. So right now, the standings are Marquez, Adam, myself, Hayato, Vin. Then it goes David, Tim, Brandon. Oh, no, sorry. Vin, Michael, David, Tim, Brandon.
Wait, so Marquez is still the first?
Marquez is number one.
Currently.
How do you do this?
Marquez has this thing where he is just perpetually good at everything. Well, maybe it's the mechanical. You are the only one who did mechanical keyboard. Yeah.
I got a 4.8 just now on the laptop, but I definitely got a better time with the keys.
Yeah,
it's all about the key. It's all about the palm rest, too. If you're in your normal typing area, you have a place where you rest your hands. Anyway,
Hayato did get to a 3, but it was on his like 9th try, I think.
I bet if you got the muscle memory.
I think we could get down. I'll ask my friend buddy Matt to send us a video of a 1 second one. But other than that, I'm really excited. It's literally just typing the alphabet, and I'm super pumped about it.
Send us your best times. I don't know if you can cheat, so I feel like just give us screenshots and we'll be able to trust them.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a good place to end it. We got to name that segment, by the way. So if you have any good names,
I would like
the alphabet type test, or maybe there's a better, more clever version of it.
Our front runner right now is Can You Type the ABCs? Because it has kind of a Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader vibe to it and makes it sound really easy, but then it winds up becoming this tough challenge.
Every guest from here on out will have to do that at some point. That's it for this week on the Waveform Podcast. We've talked about a lot of different stuff, but obviously make sure you're subscribed on the YouTube channel if you haven't already. Subscribe to the new studio channel on YouTube, which is brand new. One new video has already been published live. That's the studio tour where you can meet the team and see the space. And of course, keep watching the videos on the main channel. Thanks for watching. Catch you guys in the next one. Bass.
Waveform is produced by Adam Molina. We are partnered with Studio 71, and our intro outro music was created by Vain Sill.
Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right, $25 a month, every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.